Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome, everybody. My name's Adam Wozniak, and I'm here with my co-host, Darren Parkinson, and we are Biz Radio U. How you doing, Darren?
I'm doing great today. I couldn't be more excited for this weekend coming up, being a diehard Falcons fan.
Oh, yeah, same here, man. I missed the first one. I was too young, but I've probably got my hopes up every year since.
Yeah, it's for any of the long-term fans, it's been a bumpy ride. So, you know, there's a lot of emotion going into this one. I mean, honestly, I couldn't be prouder of, you know, the Falcons getting to where they are with all the adversity and their criticism of the playoffs and then doing what they did to the playoffs. I thought that was, honestly, that's good enough for me. But I mean, if they can do it, it'll mean the world to me.
Oh, yeah. And I'm happy for Shanahan because last year, you know, I was one of those guys who was like, Shanahan's the problem. But
yeah,
turns out it was just need another year.
Yeah.
And then turn up best offense then.
Yeah, it was a slow season last season with Matty Lukewarm, but I mean, he's Matty Ice this season. And there's no question, no doubting that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And let me tell you another thing I'm excited about. That's our guest this week.
Yeah.
This week we got Calvin Barber, Ian Outland, and they are the co-founders of Gas Pedal Garage. How you doing, guys?
How's it going?
How's it going? We're doing good.
All right. So just starts off, why don't you tell us a little bit about Gas Pedal Garage and any information you'd like to give?
Yeah, so Gas Pedal Garage is our YouTube channel. We also have Snapchat, Facebook, and Instagram. And we just do a lot of stuff with cars, like different car builds, car reviews, and we go to like car meets and film. We do different filming and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. So basically, like we started in December 5th of 2015, and we've been going at it for about like a year and a month now. It's been super fun. Basically, I kind of started the channel, and then I asked Ian, and then we also have another co-founder, Kevin Olney. I just kind of asked them to come along with me because they both love cars, and then I've loved cars mm-hmm. since I was young, and I know Ian has too, and then Kevin kind of joined us, and then yeah. we're all in college, so we kind of took the channel as we're going to have fun with it and mm-hmm. see where it goes, and from there, it's just grown, and we kind of made it into like our small business because post videos every Wednesday and Saturday, and also like we have school and also with work too, so we're just building mm-hmm. in like time to film and then time to edit yeah. with those videos, so it's just been fun all together, just meeting new people, going to car meets, doing mm-hmm. our car build, and then just building my car out too and just being with my friends.
Yeah. So it yeah. sounds like it spawned from a passion. And but how did you get into YouTube?
We got into YouTube actually Calvin was more into the car scene with YouTube than I was before, because I had only followed a couple people on YouTube maybe, but mm-hmm. We just started following, his name's TJ Hunt and this guy named Evan Shanks. They're really like inspired us to just do the videos and to you know, keep moving forward is TJ Hunt's like mm-hmm. motto. So that's like one of the mottos we follow, to keep moving forward with our channel. Even when it's hard, like there's some weeks when we don't really get a lot of views or we don't get a lot of subscribers in the week, and there's other weeks that we're like exploding. So it's just mm-hmm. it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So like starting out, I can imagine starting out on YouTube, it's hard to just, as if yeah. it's your first video, no one's seen your stuff before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you grow it from zero to, where do you got it, like 1,800?
19? Yeah, we're about 1,800 right now. Right. So just basically how you grow it is when you start off on YouTube, you have to have two videos on YouTube before you get any views. And then when you get those first views, it's like really exciting. Mm-hmm. But after that, you only see like 10 views and 50 views maybe, and then like 100 views. How you build it is basically how we did it is you have to post regularly. People want to see your videos regularly. So we set a schedule, and we've set to that schedule. You missed like a few videos here and there of the past year, but people want to see your content. People aren't going to keep coming back to your channel if you don't post regularly. And then also you want to have social media like Instagram, Snapchat, and all that, so people can actually see what you're doing before you post that video on YouTube. And then you also want to let your viewers know when you're going to post. So like we said that about our schedule, going to car meets, and then we also made business cards as well. So just handing those out made it a lot easier mm-hmm. to let people know, instead of, you know, if you say it, they're going to probably forget mm-hmm. it in the next 5 minutes talking to someone else. So yeah. just those business yeah. cards really helped.
So you've mentioned the word car meets a few times. What exactly is that?
So basically there's car meets and there's car shows. Car meets are kind of like a local hangout for mm-hmm. like a, I guess like lower age kids with bringing their Honda Civics or, you know, the modded cars that they like in their low budget cars. So it's really cool just to go see other people's builds. Mm-hmm. And they're smaller meet, like maybe 50 cars. And then a car show is just basically there's a lot more cars, maybe like 500 cars that you go mm-hmm. see. And it's a range of anything that you could think of from older cars, newer cars, exotics, and all that.
Okay. So a car meet, and like where are the locations you typically meet? Because I think I might have seen some. Like you just, you'll be in a random parking lot and you'll just see like
that's exactly
cars you're like, okay, something's going on here.
Yeah, so there's definitely a local car meets, definitely in Kennesaw, Marietta area. There's one every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Atlantic mm-hmm. Buffet. And then there's one on Friday called Diamond Dave's. And then there's one up in Forsyth County on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. And the huge car show is actually this Sunday. It's Caffeine Octane. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of it. It's down at Perimeter Mall right here. It's the largest car meet in Georgia. It's super cool. There's probably during the summer, there's at least 2,000 cars there, maybe 1,000 to 2,000 cars, which is really cool.
And is it open to any like type of cars, or is there specific cars that specific meets, or does it just
car
depend?
Meets? Like basically, they're open to any car, and definitely Caffeine Octane is open to any car. And you'll see any car there too as well. So mm-hmm. it's really cool just to see people's builds, and then it's awesome.
If you could go there with a minivan, literally, and just go there and just walk around. Like if you had like, you know, your wife and kids or whatever, you could just go walk around and hang out, like, and just look at the cars.
So it's completely open to the public.
And it's a fun atmosphere too. So
You guys were talking earlier about delivering content on a schedule.
Yeah.
Now I assume, I know you two are in school, but your other co-founders and other members of your team, are they in school and they work? So how do y'all balance that? Like, because I know producing content on schedule, like some weeks it's easy and some weeks it's like,
it's super hard, I'm not gonna lie. But basically what we do is we have a meeting every other week. And basically we sit down at the meeting and ask everyone their schedule during the week. And we kind of know our school schedule, our work schedule. And all three of us, Kevin, Ian, and I, we all have school and we all have work. So Kevin and I are kind of like the editors of the channel. Ian takes over the social media, and he also helps with editing and videoing. But basically on the weekends, we do our filming. And then during the week, we try to edit a little bit during class and stuff. Or when we get out of class, we try to edit. So we definitely fill in the gaps, but it's super fun. So
sometimes like instead of editing and like filming like on the weekends, like actually yesterday we went to a car meet, and that's like we like did a ton of filming there, so we had like a lot of content for for later.
Exactly.
And when you guys got into this, was there any prior experience with camera work or editing like that? So how did you guys get into that?
I had a little bit of experience. I don't know about Calvin actually. My cousin actually in Michigan, he has a YouTube channel now, Slowly But Surely Productions, and he is like actually in like media production, like in college. Back in the day when I used to live in Michigan, we used to do filming and stuff like that with like, we would do like army videos and stuff. Yeah. Like it was so much fun. So that's how I got into like film.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I personally did not have any filming experience or editing experience. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing too, to give people inspiration to start a YouTube channel, is you don't have to have a camera. You can use your phone. You can use your phone. And then we started out with a GoPro. So December 5th when we started, I bought a GoPro for like during Christmas, and I was like, hey, I want to start a YouTube channel. And you just have to go for it. Pick something that's your passion and then go with it, and then find your audience on YouTube.
Yeah, so essentially what you guys do, it's basically what you do anyway. It's your hobby.
Yep.
You just film it, put it on YouTube, edit it, you know, like have your own like unique marketing behind it.
Yeah,
and you make money doing what you love.
Yep, exactly. That's totally true.
That's a good deal. So back when you all first started, what were some like, I guess, early lessons that you learned, or challenges, like significant challenges you had to, you know, get through?
So our first video was like 19 minutes and 30 seconds long. That was the first thing we decided. We are not having videos that are longer than like 10 minutes, you know, unless it's like a really cool like how-to video or something like that. Other than that, we just, not to make our videos so long, because nobody wants to sit there and watch a video of you walking around. Like you want to cut out the boring parts. So. Yeah. That's one of the things.
Definitely, too. Just learn how to talk over the camera. Because once you watch yourself over in a video, you're like, oh, man. Oh, man. I definitely need to learn how to talk to a camera. Yeah. Just talk in person. So that, too. And then also, like Ian was saying, people don't want to watch a 20-minute video right off the bat when you start a YouTube channel, because they're not your followers unless they're your subscribers. Make a 5-minute video at best as our advice. Keep it short.
And with like... with like your music you put on, you want to be sure you're not like copywriting anything, but like YouTube gives you music, and a really cool thing we learned is like just getting the beat of the music with like the frames of like the film and like the photos and stuff is really like it was really cool and it looks really clean for like a video.
Okay. So like that's a little editing trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every like the beat drops, you know, just change a photo up, change a video up, it looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in terms of copyrights issues, what are some things that you stay away from working with YouTube?
Definitely the music that you choose. So I personally definitely learned with a few videos that we copyrighted. You can't use any music off iTunes or anything like that. If you want to get paid on YouTube, you can use music like if you would pick Justin Bieber or something like that, you can use that, but you won't be able to get paid. He'll actually be able to get paid from your video. You won't get any of the money from that. And then so basically YouTube gives you a creation of music and you can pick any of that as long as you put their name of the artist or something like that in the description of your video. So they give you a full range of lists that you can use of music and it's just cool beat music. It's
not, okay.
Yeah, we actually have somebody that emailed us. Calvin knows more about it. I don't know. I can't remember his name right now, but yeah, you can.
I actually forget his name too, which is pretty bad. But he let us use his, he's actually out in California or San Diego. And he let us use his music and he makes beats on SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, literally love your videos. And you can feel free to use my music as long as you just put my name and the song that you're using in our channel in the description below. So it's really cool. And it's really helped us grow because his music is really awesome to put to our videos.
Yeah.
So it's just that chill vibe.
Wow, that's awesome. And also in terms of copyrights using other people's videos, other images you find on the internet, how does that all work?
We usually don't use any images from the internet. I don't think we ever have actually. We usually just use the images we filmed or like the photo or the videos we filmed and stuff like that. But
I think I've used one image in one video, but I'm not sure that you have to. We haven't actually, and we haven't had any copyright issues. Mm-hmm. I think we used like a little meme face in one of our videos, but we haven't had any problem with that. Yeah. So
essentially, what you're saying is you can't just go on Google Images, click a bunch of images, and make your video based on.
If you want to make money like that way, can't do that. No,
yeah, we wouldn't suggest that. No,
yeah.
Oh no, it seems fair. Original content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, gets you money. But you're talking about how you got a. I'm assuming the person who sent you the music was a subscriber. Do y'all have like any other direct subscriber interaction? Like, do y'all get feedback or anything like that?
Sometimes people will email us for like merchandise and stuff, which we don't have yet. Like, we don't have that much of it yet. And but other people, like at car meets and stuff, actually, somebody came up to me and Kevin only, and at the car meet, and they're like, "Hey guys, like we didn't know like you were like from Georgia. Like we like subscribed you guys. We have like Miatas too." And they were like, yeah, we thought you lived in California. And we were like, no, we live in Georgia. So, yeah. So there's a lot of interaction with like subscribers and like all of our friends like support us and stuff like that. And like at our local car meets, they definitely support us with that like that way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you mentioned merch. Is that something we can see in the future?
Yeah, that's definitely like, in the foreseeable future. Yeah. We definitely want to have merch like sweatshirts, t-shirts, hats, all kinds of that stuff. And with that merch, we want a website so people can go to it and buy the merch from the website. And then our next goal is definitely top goal is to have a garage for Gaspedal Garage, like a performance shop for cars.
Yeah, so we want to have like some cool designs for shirts and stuff like that so that like anybody can wear. Like not just car people too, like we'll put our logo on there, but like it'll be like a cool design. It won't just be for car people, but there will be like merchandise that's more for like the car scene.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of like more like graphical design, who handles that and how did you get into that aspect of it? Because video editing is one thing, producing videos, but obviously producing the logo and other graphics, where do you guys go for that?
Yeah, for sure. So basically, we started off, we actually went to Walmart and then Joann Fabric and we got some t-shirts and then we made our own screen printer. So we just took like a thin piece of, nylon maybe, I forget what it's called. And then we painted over it and we actually made shirts out of it, which was pretty cool. And that was pretty cheap. And then we kind of wanted to make a logo. So I actually made a logo on Word document and built that off of that. And then I actually went for our YouTube channel. I went to my friend, Andrew, Andrew Walker, actually. And he designed our, I guess you could say, our thumbnail at the top of our YouTube channel. So we just made friends through that because I'm not very good with Photoshop or anything like that. I'm good at editing, but not with making Photoshop and placing and sticking pictures together. So I went to my buddy Andrew Walker and he helped us out with that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And with different designs, we haven't really like, I've designed a couple of things, a couple like different like logos for like GPG because Gaspel Garage will like shorten it. And we haven't really done anything with it yet, but we all kind of just do drawings and stuff like that and send each other pictures and like see what we like.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, that's one of the key marks of an entrepreneur is just being resourceful. And because on the surface, it looks like, I mean, you have to have like some kind of degree in graphical, you know, engineering to do stuff like this. But I mean, you said you created all words. So,
I didn't even know you could do that with Word.
I didn't either. Like, I sat down one day and I was like, I'm going to do this no matter how long it takes. I think it took me like 3.5 hours just to build. And it came out really cool. And like, we made prototype t-shirt and sweatshirt and it came out really cool. And then Ian actually, like he was saying, he made a few drawings and those are definitely going to be like a next shirt that we're going to make. And we're kind of just building that off for the merch and to have different seasons for our merchandise for Gaspodo Garage. So different designs.
And also, I guess, just going back, we mentioned this came from a passion, but we're going even further back. Where did that passion come from? Where did your love from cars come from? How did you find that passion?
So for me, I used to live in Michigan. So Detroit, like that's, you know, Motor City there. So there's this road called Woodward and it was called the Woodward Dream Cruise, which is like a really, really big, like, it's kind of like a car show. And there's like thousands and thousands of cars for like 10 miles, literally, that goes down the whole entire road. And my dad and I and my cousins and like my uncles, we used to go together like every single year. And that's really where I got my passion for cars and mostly for muscle cars because there was more muscle cars there. But yeah, when I started hanging out with like Calvin Moore, I got more into like the tuners and stuff like that.
Definitely going off what Ian said is my family, both sides, my mom and dad, they're both those sides are super into cars. And then just from a young age, that's like the thing that I've held in my hand, a Matchbox or Hot Wheels car. I've had a ton of them, a ton of model cars. And then I've personally always had a dream of having my own garage performance shop. So getting into when I got my license, the first day that I got my license, I was able to drive. And then as soon as I got my Subaru WRX STI, and then I was able to modify it and just learn about cars. And then I got the Miata and started building that out. It just came more and more of a passion. And then when we started the YouTube channel, I was like, hey, I want to do it about this. And then I asked Ian and Kevin to join. So
And the passion, like, it's really cool because like the passion you get from like your childhood, you can like, it comes up and it like, you know, you're more passionate about it. Like every other day you're getting more passionate about it. And you're like, it's really cool. Cause like the community with cars is like really awesome. Like you can modify your car. Like even if it's like a car you don't think is cool, it's still cool to like listen to them and like hear about their build and like what they've done to it. Cause it's like, it's everyone has their own like style.
So I guess, I guess a helpful message to the listeners out there is, one of the benefits about being an entrepreneur is you can make money doing what you love and you can always find a way to do it.
And you know, as we've seen today, YouTube is a perfectly good starting off point
to
you know, grow your business with like your passion.
I guess for anybody, I mean, the concept of YouTube and how it actually works, because most people will just like per se, I mean, most people just viewers, they just watch the channels and the videos and they don't really take a step to think who produces this content and why. But it's actually, I mean, people actually create companies, you know, around producing content just like you guys have done. And it's, some people have made, millions off of it. So it is a very lucrative and viable career and, way to start a business.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that's consensus right there. But
so kind of going off of that, what are some of the ways that you guys monetize your channel?
So basically, how we monetize our channel is you have to like make an AdSense account with Google, and then obviously don't have any copyrighted content in there. And then once you post the video, it'll go up, and you'll be able to see there'll be like a little money sign by your video to see if you actually made that money or if it's copyrighted, and then YouTube will send you an email saying that your video is copyrighted. It won't like affect your channel or anything, but that they'll take it down. Or they'll either take it down or you have a choice of taking it down or you just won't make any money off of it through that.
Yeah.
And do you have any experiences where they flagged you guys and maybe you spent like a long time on a video, and then did you go? Yes. Were there things you could do to maybe, like, you know, fix that and repost it or something?
So we've actually had just previously we did like a review on a car, and we took a while on it. Kevin and I did, and then Ian was filming and everything, and loved the video. We thought like it wasn't copyrighted, mm-hmm. and it sounded like the beat was perfect, and every little edit. We posted it to YouTube, and then it literally had copyrighted content, and we're like, wow, it got a ton of views. So we just left it up on YouTube. We didn't take that. We took the hit. We didn't make any money off of it, but it was a good video. So we just decided, but you actually have to take the video down, and then, and you lose all the views off that video. So that's kind of why we didn't want to take it down.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because if you take a video down, you're going to lose the views in the first place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, it's not going to affect us if we kept it up. So we just kind of left it.
Yeah.
And we were thinking also, it'll also help people, like, or it'll help lead people to our channel, even if it's like copyrighted mm-hmm. content, because they're still going to hopefully like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, still good work.
Yeah.
Why not show it?
Exactly. Yeah.
So can you go a little more into working and off of the ad revenue and how their system works?
Oh, okay.
What tools they use to help you monitor that?
Yeah. So every 1,000 views is like $1. So mm-hmm. if you get like a million views, that's $1,000. A million views is $1,000. Yeah.
Wow.
But if you're like high, like that's for us, like for like our YouTube channel. But if you're higher up, like if you have like 500,000 subscribers, there's like a way to make more money off each view.
Mm-hmm.
So like instead of like $1 off 1,000, it would be like 3 or 5 or something like in between there. So
yeah,
it just depends.
Like Ian was saying, so once you start off, it's $1 that YouTube will pay you per 1,000 views. And then if you get more popular, say like TJ Hunt, Evan Shanks, they can pay you, I'm going to say, I feel it's like $3.40, and they might have changed it, but it's that range of $1 to $3.40 per 1,000 views. So mm-hmm. for instance, if you have a million views on a video, it doesn't mean you can make 1,000. You could have made like $3,000 off that video because mm-hmm. they paid you more per 1,000 views. And then, so that's basically like how you make money off that. And then through YouTube, you can look at the analytics. They give you a full rundown of your channel and how much revenue that you've made, and then demographics and how you can get better, and like the duration of people who watch your video. And it's just super cool to see how much money you've made off each video. That can help you with future videos.
And views isn't only, that's not the only way you can make money through YouTube. Like, mm-hmm. you know, just for example, like, just pretend you have like a huge video that's going like viral, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And somebody like, you know, some company like Airlift sees it, and they're like, oh, this guy's car is cool. We're going to give him like a free set of like Airlift. Like it's like suspension.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like sponsorships you can get through YouTube. And like, I'm pretty sure TJ Hunt has gotten that like through YouTube as well.
Definitely sponsorships. And then also real quick, I want to say that, they put ads on your videos. I'm sure like a lot mm-hmm. of people, when you watch anyone who's watched a YouTube video, you have ads. So the lower YouTube channels, they get like the really bad ads that people really mm-hmm. don't want to see. So they're definitely going to click X. They're not going to click on it. But if you are more popular on YouTube, they're going to view like Pepsi or like Coca-Cola ads mm-hmm. or like the new Hyundai car model ads on there. And people might be prone to click on that, and then you get money through clicking on ads through there too.
Oh wow.
So like, I personally, I don't mind it if I'm watching a YouTube video and then the ad is like a movie trailer.
I love that. I love that. Yeah.
And that's like the more popular like one that they'll put on like a higher end YouTube.
Something obnoxious.
Like, yeah, it's like no, click on it.
Yeah, I mean that's the great part about it. I mean, we all like have like, you know, issues with invasion, within privacy and stuff like that. But this is at least one of the success stories from that, because I mean, we've all had those commercials, you know, where they're just painful to watch. It has nothing to do with what we're into. But this way, I guess they can kind of, you know, like, you know, give you the content that you actually want to see. Like Adam just mentioned the movie trailers. I do the same thing. If I see a new movie trailer, man, I'll click that and I'll forget the video I was just watching.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, they got us.
They got us. Yeah.
And then definitely getting into like what Ian was saying about like sponsorships. If your video, for instance, his cousin, like we just said, Slowly But Surely Productions, they got some lips from, I forget what company it was.
It was for All Fit.
All Fit lips for their, like a front lip for your car and mm-hmm. side skirts. And they made a video off of it, and then they sent it to the company, and the company actually sponsored them for like discounts off more like things for their car, which is super cool. So through that, you can get sponsorships. And then if a company sees that you're actually a lot of views on that video for their product, they're going to reach out to you and see if like you want to be sponsored, if they can give you a discount off their product.
Hmm. And do you actively go out looking for sponsors, or do they just find you? Is it a combination?
We've sent a couple emails to some different companies, but
you kind of have to reach out to them. They're not going to really come to you unless you're super big or if they see it. So just sending off a video that you made for them. But definitely you have to reach out for them because you have to show them what you can bring to the table.
Yeah. And also, do you have control of how the ads typically work? Because I've seen there's a variety of different ways that they implement them. Like sometimes there's one right at the beginning that you can skip after 5 minutes. Some you get those dreaded 30-minute ones. I mean, 30-second ones where you just got to sit there and, you know, endure it. You know, we're spoiled. Yeah, able to click past them and stuff like that. But do you have any control over that?
Not that I know that I have control of. I know like the user can do ad blocker. And then once your video, once you get like higher up, like I know TJ Hunt, his videos, there's actually an ad right in the middle of the video. So you're watching it and this cuts out to an ad. And I just believe that just because he's more popular. So more people might be like wanting to click on that ad. So he might get more money on that. Yeah. But I don't, as if I know right now that you can actually, we have control of that. Okay. On what ads.
See, that's interesting, having the ad in the middle of the video.
Because
you mentioned duration is data that Google monitors or YouTube monitors, and they let you know about that. Can you talk a little more about how duration is important, like viewer viewing duration?
Yeah. So duration is like really important for your videos because it well, a lot of duration is from your subscribers. Most people who come in that are not subscribers to your YouTube channel are not going to like sit there for that 5 minutes or 6 minutes. They're probably going to be there for 30 seconds to a minute if they actually like your video. So from that, we've kind of like built, I think we had an average of like 15 seconds when we started off for our videos on YouTube. And now we're up to 2 minutes and 30 seconds of people actually watching our videos. And just the duration is important from the standpoint that people are going to watch your content more, and it shows what videos people really actually want to see.
Yeah, because if it's like a long video, like say you have a 10-minute video opposed to like a 4-minute video, people are going to like, if it's a 10-minute video, they're going to skip through like slightly and just go through the whole video, just like skipping through the video. But for a 4-minute video, they might skip it once or twice if it's like maybe like a boring part. But
yeah.
So it just depends.
So what would you say is like the perfect time frame? Obviously, it depends on like the video and what you're doing, but what would you say is like the secret formula and the time that you found?
Definitely have to say between 4 to 5 minutes.
That's
that secret little...
Yeah, that little secret window.
That window is for surely great because we just learned over the past year, we put videos out that were like 20 minutes our first one, didn't get any views on that. And then we progressively went down 14, 10... 7, and then we started seeing like a lot of viewers. And now if it's a popular video or if it's like a build on our car, we'll definitely do maybe like an 8 to 10 minute video, and people will watch it just because they're following. For instance, we on our channel, we do like different builds. So a build on my Miata, we did a series of that, so people actually followed that build, so they wanted to see the content. But if you're just putting out a video for people to see, definitely the 4 to 5 minute window is like that perfect window for
especially
people.
If you're starting out too.
Yeah, I think that's definitely starting out.
So it's like a, you know, maybe if the for the shorter ones, it would be like more of an entertainment video.
Yep, exactly.
And then you can get away with longer ones if it's informative.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. If you're doing like a how-to video or like an informative video or like a build, you definitely wanted to have it like maybe like around 8 minutes. Because, you know, people want to see like how to do it if you're making a how-to video or like what to do.
And then definitely like once you get more up there, if you have more subscribers, then people are going to watch your video. So it doesn't really exactly matter how long your videos are because people are still going to watch them because they really enjoy watching your content. So, but starting off on YouTube, definitely you want to stick with that 4 to 5 minute window.
Interesting. All right. I guess to wrap it up, last question will be, if there's one thing you know now that you wish you knew when you're starting out, what would that be?
I was going to say that that's a hard question.
I would definitely have to say just editing wise and then just making more business cards, I have to say, just to get our channel out there.
Yeah.
And then just probably filming.
Yeah, I'd probably say
the way how to film.
Filming too, and I'd probably say social media. Because we weren't up on social media like until like maybe 6 months ago, right? I feel like we weren't really up on social media. We weren't trying to like promote our channel. When we started doing that, we gained a ton of subscribers and like a ton more views. So I think like starting right when you start your YouTube channel, you should start like in like anything social media, like whether it's Facebook, whether it's like, you know, Instagram. And like, you know, promote it, like promote your channel or promote whatever business, even if it's just a business thing.
So just blanket coverage
and
as much quality as you can.
And then definitely I have to say is just set goals, because I have like a goal board in my room, and I set a goal for 1 year was 1,000 subscribers, and we went way past that, and we had 1,500 at the end of 1 year. So just to see that, it makes you want to strive and do more and more video content. And then also, like we said, a motto is God, family, and fast cars. That's our motto. Like TJ Hunt's motto is moving forward, keep moving forward. Ours is like God, family, and fast cars. So that's what our motto is.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome.
All right. And before we head out, can you tell us where our viewers can find you at? Or
yeah. So Facebook? You can find us on. So like I said, we're on Snapchat. It's just Gas Pedal Garage, no spaces. And then as well as Instagram. And then, yeah, for YouTube, it's Gas Pedal Garage with no spaces. And just, if you guys want to like, subscribe, and comment.
Yeah, we would love that.
All right, good deal. Well, I'm Adam Wozniak.
I'm Darren Parkinson.
And we're BizReader.eu, unifying business and university.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.